Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. We're going to be continuing today in our studies here in the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we are here in chapter number 4, looking at verse number 16, which says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." And so as we've been going through this verse here, we've been looking at some of the aspects of the angelic realm and exactly what the scriptures say about angels as we see how the Lord Jesus Christ, when he returns for the body of Christ, that he's coming with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. So since he's coming with these things, we need to have that understanding of what it is that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming with when he comes for us to catch us away from the earth so that we can rule and reign with him in the heavenly places. And as we've been looking at this, we spent a few weeks going through aspects of the angelic realm, looking at their role in time past, you know, dealing with the nation of Israel, their role today with the body of Christ, and also looking at the ages to come. So after we are caught out, how the angelic realm will be used to bring about God's plan to reconcile the earth unto himself and set up the kingdom here on the earth. Now, as we're talking about the angelic realm, we see that the Apostle Paul makes a statement here. If we go over to Colossians chapter number 2, and we'll see that as Paul is writing here to this assembly at Colossae, that he says here in Colossians chapter 2, where we're going to read verses 18 and 19, where it says, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God." So, as Paul's giving this warning here, he's speaking about how there are individuals who have shifted from the worship of God into a worship of the angelic realm. And he's giving a warning of that to not be beguiled or tricked into doing something of that manner. You know, because individuals are always looking for, unfortunately, something that they can actually substitute, that instead of worshiping God, that they're going about and doing all these various other things that are contrary to what God would actually have individuals to do. So that's why you have this warning here. And when he's saying that it's a beguilement, that trickery, and that individuals are intruding into these things. Now, you can go back into the Old Testament and you can see how, as individuals were seeing the angelic realm, that they were actually going into that immediate reaction of trying to worship these angels as they were seeing them. Now, We have not seen them. We've not been a part of that type of a program. Yes, we know that angels are real because the scriptures are telling us that they are real, but we're not to be actually worshiping the angelic realm. We're not to be pulled into things that, you know, especially when you see if this same chapter, if you go up to verse number 8, where it says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." And you see Paul talking about, you know, all of these various things, the philosophy, the vain deceit, the tradition of men, the rudiments of the world, all of those things are contrary to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're contrary to the program that is for today. And you see, it's a beware of these things. And the unfortunate reality of how individuals get pulled away from the truth of what God's word says, trying to follow any of those traditions and what somebody has told them that the scriptures say, rather than actually looking at it for themselves, applying the principle that the Apostle Paul has told us of what our responsibility is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, "Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That the responsibility we have is to study. We're to be taking the word of God in. We know from the book of Romans, I'm going to go over here and we're reading in Romans chapter number 3, here in verse 4, where it says, "God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged." And we know that God is the source of truth, and the truth that we have comes from the word of God. We study it. We apply that principle of right division to be understanding that our doctrine comes from the books of Romans through Philemon. And as we're taking the word of God in and applying it, we have that growth that's coming in to actually experience the things that what the word says and understand exactly what we are to be doing here. Now, as we look at these things and we have this understanding of today, when we're going to go back to a passage we covered a couple weeks ago here. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter number 3. And we're going to see how Paul describes, you know, what the angelic realm is doing today here in Ephesians chapter number 3, verses 10 and 11. "To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." So the angelic realm, and hold your hand here, we're going to come right back. I want to go over to Job chapter number 38 for a moment, because we're going to see in the book of Job. Now, the book of Job would have been, you know, probably the first book that was actually written of the scripture. And you have a discussion here. By the time you get to chapter 38, you know, you've gone through this, the discussion in the book of Job between Job and his friends. By 38, it's now a discussion between God and Job here. And we're going to pick up here in Job 38. And we're going to look here at, we'll start right at verse 1. It says, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched a line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who had laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Now, if we go back over to Ephesians 3, we see that there's this a contrast here between in Job talking about the angelic realm in verse 7 of Job 38, who are there witnessing all of the acts of creation, the things that you read about in Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, the other passages in the scripture that talk about creation, that the angelic realm was there witnessing all of those things. They're singing and praising God as they're seeing this. So they're seeing and witnessing all of the things that are recorded in Scripture, but they did not know any of the things that were from before the foundation of the world. That's why you see how this description in Ephesians chapter number 3 is about the fact that the principalities, the powers, these positions that the angelic realm are actually in, and we'll probably get into a discussion of those things next week here in our studies of this passage. But the angelic realm, they're sitting there, they're looking down on us, learning the things of what it is that we are doing. And they see the grace of God. They see how, you know, when in the comparison between what was going on with Israel, of when Israel was given these very specific do this, don't do that, and chastisement happening almost immediately for when they transgressed against God. And now they're seeing a completely different system that has been laid out, of where instead of those things going on, God is functioning in His grace. He's offered salvation to mankind through what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'll read our gospel here of, you know, what saves someone today. We'll start here in verse 1 and read through verse 4, 1 Corinthians 15. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." This is what saves an individual today. And the moment a person puts their trust in that, they become a member of the body of Christ. They have that sealing ministry of the Spirit that's recorded in Ephesians chapter 1, where all the members of the body are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise to keep us in the position of being in the body, that we cannot lose the salvation that we have. And that's such a glorious thing to really be thinking about, that to know that once we've put our trust in the gospel, we have that guarantee, and we know that we are going to be part of the heavenly hope, and that there is nothing that can take this away from us. And the angelic realm looking down on us and seeing this occurring, they're seeing the mistakes that individuals make. You know, when you read over in Ephesians 2, and we start here, verse 8, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, this is not something that Peter, James, John, any of the other individuals that were ministering to the nation of Israel could possibly have said, to just talk about how, well, we should walk in good works. You know, James, over in James chapter number 2, talks about how faith without works is dead, and talk about how an individual needs to be demonstrating works in order to have salvation. That's going to be true when the book of James is actually applicable, which is during the ages to come, which has nothing to do with who we are as the members of the body of Christ today. The angelic realm understood and saw those things and knew exactly what God was doing. And then all of a sudden, there's this different thing that they had no idea about. There had been nothing that had been ever said about the fact that there was a heavenly hope. You know, they could not have understood. You know, if we go over to Colossians chapter number 3, and we're going to read here starting in verse 1. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." There had been nothing that had identified anything related to the reconciliation of the heavenly places. And now, all of these things have been revealed, and they're being seen in us as we are living our daily lives, applying the scriptures, and the angelic realm is watching us and seeing this occur. And we know that they had no understanding. So if we go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, and we see how Paul gets into a discussion here related to the wisdom that had been understood. We'll start here, verse number 6. It says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." So, if there had been information about this revealed, the Satan and the angelic realm that followed him in the rebellion against God, instead of trying to encourage the nation of Israel to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ, they would have been doing everything that they could to have prevented his death because they would have seen, okay, that his death is not only going to have an impact on, you know, the things of the earth, they would have the reconciliation of the heavenly places. Satan thought he won at the cross. He thought by the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ here on the earth, that Israel rejecting the kingdom, that this led to a victory for himself. He didn't realize that everything that occurred there, instead of it being a victory, it was his defeat. You know, it was the purpose of God that had been laid out, that everything God had planned came about, and the reconciliation of the heavenly places, a plan was actually there and now has been brought to fruition. And Satan, the angelic realm that are in heaven, have learned and are learning what is actually going on during this dispensation. And what we're going to see is that the members of the body of Christ are going to be given positions in the heavenly places to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ, to have positions of authority over the angelic realm, and that this voice of the archangel that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming with signifies the fact that this is now occurring, and that the body of Christ is going to take its rightful position in the heavenly places that has been promised and that was determined before the foundation of the world. That's why we're going to look at some of these things related to, you know, those positions and what God means for us next time. Now, this is our last broadcast of 2023. You know, we've covered a lot of ground in the book of 1 Thessalonians. This year we'll be continuing throughout, you know, the next year, looking at various things in this epistle, getting a better understanding of what the Word of God says for us today. And, you know, and I thank everyone who has joined us over the course of this year, you know, and hopefully this has been a very beneficial thing in your study of the Word of God, that you've been able to come to that better understanding of what God's Word says. And we look forward to ministering with you over the course of the next year. So as always, as we close out, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some audio files of some previous messages. We have some charts to help you in your study of God's Word. We have information on how to watch our services live as they're being broadcast on Facebook, Sunday mornings at 9, our Wednesday night Bible study at 7:30. And as always, if you happen to be in the Buffalo area, we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings. We meet at 83 Anderson Road in Cheektowaga, New York. And so as we close here, just remind everyone to keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.